Hello, hello. Once again, we're back here for another episode of the Beachside Boys.
Nerds. What are you talking about?
Nerds!
You see? Now, yeah, I just threw me off my script. But we're back together with the boys from the Beachside. Me, Evel, our friend over here, Glenn the Headcase, and Remy Aberrant. We're here for the thrills and chills of it all. So, gentlemen, what was it?
We were starting with violence, wasn't it? We were
violence. That, yes.
We just read
something just a while ago saying that Robert Kirkman says, Omni-Man would easily beat Superman in a fight.
And I agree.
Now, a lot of people are going to hate on you, especially people from the DC-verse. They're going to be like, but Superman has all these feats.
Kyle, and Superman has bench-pressed the entire universe. He has punched the universe so hard, he has broken through reality, Kyle.
All kind of lovely, grandiose things that Superman has done, which are proven a lot of times not to be the case if you read the comic itself. There's always usually a caveat to the reasons he was able to do these things.
He didn't break reality?
He was in a room where reality was technically represented like mirrors.
Ah.
It's not like he was just out in space and like, bam. No. He was in a room that allowed for such to happen.
And what about the bench pressing the universe thing?
That's another thing again.
He didn't Chuck Norris the situation, just lie down and just press the...
No. Again, that's some... Again, there's some caveats to these things that people do not talk about. Just like the whole thing of lifting the book of infinite pages so he was able to lift infinity. Yeah, that's not how it went. He was
amazing.
It takes two people to lift infinity. Really?
Amazing.
Because it was him and Wonder Woman. Now, the situation in that was that the book of infinite pages was in a gravity field. He and Wonder Woman were able to hold the field that was holding the book.
So then the question is, how would Omni-Man beat Superman?
Snap his neck.
Is he faster than Superman?
In the terms of speed, because Superman doesn't use his speed properly a lot of the times, he is fast, but is he at Superman levels of speed? I've never
Superman
seen
Superman flies faster than light.
Yeah, that, again, is very different according to which iteration of Superman you have. It's usually just below light or just about light.
Okay, so we can say that there are different iterations of Superman based on the era that you're reading.
Era and the writer.
Mm-hmm.
Gentlemen.
So there are different iterations of Superman based on the era that you're reading, like Golden Age, modern era, well, early 90s, Mullet Superman, then there's post-Crisis on Infinite Earth Superman.
There's Kingdom Come Superman, which they actually said...
No, we're not talking about alternate realities. We're talking
about
variations on the main reality.
Oh, okay.
So let's keep it simple. Mm. Let's take Superman as he exists today, 2024, versus Omni-Man. Omni-Man remains the same throughout the series. We get to see more and more of his powers displayed. My money is on Omni-Man simply because of how vicious Omni-Man can be. Not necessarily because he can outpower. Omni-Man feels like a Zod.
Yes, very works under the problem with Omni-Man versus Superman. Superman better kill him. He better kill him at the end of the fight because
their recovery
and their adaptation to whatever damaged them is similar to like something like Doomsday. You don't do it to him twice. So
really?
They recover and get stronger.
Yeah,
every
but
time.
Not like Doomsday, though.
Well, not at the same strength of Doomsday, but something like Doomsday at a lower level.
Because the thing about Doomsday is whatever you hurt him with or
kill
him with...
will not work ever again.
It will never work again.
It will never work at that level ever again. Let's put it that way. So, Omni-Man, I see with his tactics and living for, 10,000 plus years, I see him dominating Superman, really and truly. Some people, again, will argue the fact that Superman has laser vision, all the speed feats and so forth. I've seen Superman lose to so much regular people, it's not funny.
Like Batman?
We'll leave Batman for the later segment. We'll leave Batman. That's part of the segment today, Batman, and as Glenn put it, his nonsensical prep time. But we'll talk about that.
Today we're playing around with an idea for a new segment called The Nonsense With, and we're starting today two nonsenses, but we'll get into that a little later. But to kick things off, how about we just browse to what came out this week? Did there anything come out, any of the new releases on your pulled list that drew your attention that, you know, you enjoyed?
For this week, I think I was captivated too much by dealing with things that I've touched anything new.
It could be watch or read, eh?
No, I know that. But I was too captivated a lot this week. It was a busy week for me. But what caught my attention? The reviews and scenes. I haven't watched it yet of the new Avatar series.
Oh gosh.
I've seen that, and just from the little I see, is like it just totally slam dunked the one already in the trash into the trash further.
Was there one already in the trash?
Yes, the M.L.I. Shyamalan one.
What is that?
Okay, sorry.
Okay, good.
It exists not. Just like you don't say his name. Okay, just say so, Tom Riddle.
So while we're here, we might as well just touch on it, right? So I have watched a total of 2 episodes because of time constraints, because I didn't want to just rush through it, right? But I watched 2 episodes, and I must say that watching this new live adaptation of Avatar feels like I'm actually watching Avatar itself. Enough times we would encounter adaptations for things and they just don't quite hit the mark. They look like the thing that you recognize, but they don't quite feel that way. It makes sense?
The Dragon Ball Evolution still exists.
Oh God, you're just calling things I don't know about.
Wow, just out the door with that one. Just like, yeah, just dumped on that one.
I saw it. Remy, did you see it?
No, I have a policy about live action stuff. If I'm not interested in if I don't think that something required live action, then I just don't watch it at all.
Okay.
Because why?
Why? Because
you already have the animated one. You don't need
why? Because
animated one.
See our version of it.
We don't do things because we need it. We do it because we want.
We want to show that we can.
And lately, time is like a constraint. I have better things to do than watch that.
Don't waste your time on live action. He's telling you. Well, there's some out there that will. Well, listen to me. The only 2 representations of any anime or anime-esque things I've ever seen so far, the only 2 is between the One Piece and Alita.
Mm.
Alita was a very great representation of the original.
I haven't watched the One Piece one up to now, and I go lie, but that's because, you know, I'm not really a fan of One Piece per se.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm definitely a fan of Avatar, and I wanted to see it because the trailer actually hooked me. I got the vibe from the trailer, and when I was watching it, the vibe is definitely the same, right? So we know that the adaptation, they have certain constraints. We know it's 8 episodes, right? For this first season, we have no confirmation of a second season yet. But because it's 8 episodes, they kind of have to compress the story a bit. What I find is that they did a very good job in terms of maintaining that feel of the Avatar that we know. They handled it with care. And the same beats as far as the plot and its progression, that is maintained as well. And to me, these are the most important. What are your thoughts, Kyle?
My thoughts of adaptations is that you want to hit home and the feel of the original source material and yet not let go anything that made it what it was in terms of like character development, the whole emotion you get from seeing and following certain characters on their journey. You need to be able to continue that. Story-wise, you want to usually hit home with the story as well. If you're going to shrink it, you need to make sure you have key areas always put in there. You don't want to leave out certain things that led to another emotional break in this character, and you're like, wait, why are they reacting this way or behaving this way to another character? You never saw anything build up towards that.
And that's what I'm saying. They did.
They do that. But that is the key thing they need to do with adaptations. Other times they just throw in random things. Again, let's go back to the movie that shall not be named. What is this guy doing in high school?
Oh my God.
What is he doing in high school? Did anything in the whole series ever showed that this guy went to school? This guy learned how to read from an adult magazine.
What are you talking about again?
He doesn't Avatar. Want me to call
Dragon Ball Evolution.
Or Dragon Ball Evolution, right?
Talking about you have to deal with teen angst. I never watched it either. And nobody ever
Why are
me
we
to watch
even
it.
Talking about Dragon
I
Ball?
Even, I don't even know the plot of that movie.
Apparently, how much years ago?
We don't need to know.
It's an adaptation we have to talk about because
Kyle, I am not giving the breath in my lungs to that. We have limited time.
All right,
right? We have a lot of things to hit.
But you see, you have
Avatar is out.
Yeah.
Would you recommend somebody watch it?
Yes. From what I've seen so far and gotten from it, yes, I plan to watch it fully.
And is it safe to say that fans of the original would be satisfied watching?
Depends on what they looked for. Some people like the whimsicalness of it, the overall thing is not as whimsical as though it gets a little hard.
They only have 8 episodes to play.
Yeah, that's the thing. So some people might miss out on that, but in its own right, and a story, live action, is worth the watch. So I will go out and stuff. You're not going to get all the cuteness. Trust me, it gets a little hardcore far from what you ever removed from what you start.
They have some charm. There's a lot of charm and whimsy.
Yeah, but not as close as what they had in the series, the cartoon
because
series.
Because they have to stick with what's important, right?
Yes, to shrink it down.
What was your take on the visuals?
Oh, they were lovely. Oh, I loved when she was fighting those guys who just taking ice and flinging them in the soldiers. And like the guy who's firebending, it looks beautiful. It looks beautiful and it looks proportionate to what they are capable to do with the waterbending. Not like the other piece of work that Glenn doesn't want to mention about.
We don't have to reference anything else. As far as we're concerned, right?
But some people might be anime. Saying like, hey, there was that thing before. Am I going to take that such as a serious
there's
version
the
of that?
Anime and then they did a live action adaptation.
Okay, all right, no problem.
I found the casting to be great.
Yes, they look very good.
They are spot on. I mean, it now could ever be a one for one because duh, it's an animation, right? But they got really, really close with it. Aang is literally Aang. He embodies the character. The actor embodies the character so well. He hits everything that makes Aang Aang to me, right? He's brave. He's charming. He's spry. He's a bubble of joy and optimism.
But he has a lot of doubts in him and so forth.
Of course
made him into a nice character.
Yeah. So I hear talk as it's want to do. Person saying that there's no confirmation that we're going to get a season two, that this might be the only season that we get. I highly doubt that.
Segue for a quick, it's still on live action adaptations with Netflix and so. Remy, this one is for you. Do you know they have a live action Gundam coming out?
I saw something about it.
What's your thoughts on that?
I don't know. Like, we'll see. It's going to be hard to do that one.
There's going to be a lot of CGI in that one.
A lot of that is in space, so.
A lot of that is...
If they can do
Star Wars, but Star Wars, the original one, had a lot of good practical effects.
Yeah.
That was what made Star Wars so beautiful.
Remember, right? There's hundreds of millions of dollars to waste on CGI.
Yeah.
But there's not enough money for practical effects.
Sad situation indeed. Sad situation. But
I thought CGI was supposed to make filming cheaper.
Somehow I thought so too, and it's just more expensive as times go by. It doesn't make no sense. But what I'm saying is now we talk about CGI and practical effects and so forth. I was hearing that for the new Beetlejuice, oh my gosh, what's his name again? Lord. Michael Keaton said he would not come back if they did not use practical effects. So Beetlejuice 2 is going to have all those beautiful practical effects.
And Michael Keaton is a massive enough star that he can actually say that.
Yeah, so
but what about Michael Keaton's likeness?
When you say his likeness.
Remember, they don't really need you, you know.
Yeah, but no, they want no, but they don't really need you, but they want their fan base to come in. So he's in there. And it's done by the same
Tim Burton.
Tim Burton.
Okay.
It's Tim Burton, and they're using mostly practical effects like they did before. So I am looking forward to that. Because when I heard them doing a Beetlejuice 2, I was like, oh Lord, in this day and age,
why?
The CGI is not going to look good and all that stuff for a lot of those beautiful horror oriented practical effects. Because when Tim Burton did other movies, it did not have the same gusto as other movies we've seen. Like, for instance, when he did
Wednesday
or Alice in Wonderland with all that CGI and so forth, he's trying to pull out the dark tones, but you know, it's not real. So you don't feel immersed in the world. You know, it's a big blue or green screen
Remember,
behind
them. Remember, it's not him on the computer designing that, right?
Yes,
He puts forth his vision, but they have to render it using the tech that they have.
Yeah, and it's not rendered well, but no, with practical effects, and he's going to be the in person to oversee all that. You know him with practical effects is beautiful.
You sound like you're eagerly anticipating Beetlejuice.
Yes, when I heard, hey, listen
I am
to me.
Not anticipating Beetlejuice.
No, I am anticipating. I love the first Beetlejuice.
Beetlejuice 1 was enough, and I saw that movie twice. The first one on purpose, the second time by accident.
No,
I don't need to watch
times.
That again. But there's one single thing that I love from Beetlejuice.
Shake, shake, shake.
That's right.
Shake your body.
Work, Signora, work it all the time.
That
jump in the line.
Listen to me, that song is so infamous. I had time some years ago, I'm pulling up, of course, you know, I love to listen to my music on the set in the car, and I pull up by the gas station, and yes, I had that playing, and I hear the young girl there, work it all the time. Like, she's dancing while pumping Signora. The gas. I'm like, wow. I just put a smile on my face. Like,
is that dancing I see going on behind there, Michael? Were you dancing like a well? Were you shaking your groove thing like a well?
Yes, but
studio audience is silent today. Yes. But yes, to wrap up on the weekly poll, Spider-Man Ultimate Spider-Man 2 came out. I haven't read it yet, but I'm eager to read it because Ultimate Spider-Man number 1 did so well for me, right? And for those of you who don't know, Jonathan Hickman, superstar comic book writer, has been tasked by Marvel to launch or relaunch the Ultimate Universe, which is an alternate line of comics different from the mainline comics that we call the 616. And in this situation, we see alternate takes on the characters. So the Maker, who is the alternate version of Reed Richards from Fantastic Four, he's a villain from his timeline. He decided that he's going to basically start a universe, start a timeline where the heroes never became heroes. They never got their power. Captain America never got released from the ice. Iron Man never became Iron Man in the conventional way. Peter Parker never got bitten by the spider. Who else didn't get their ability? A bunch of people didn't get their ability. Thor, Asgard was humbled.
Yeah.
Put under the jurisdiction of Loki. And Thor put in prison with Mjolnir denied access. He's denied access to Mjolnir. So with Ultimate Spider-Man number 1, we get to see basically a fan service Peter Parker. We got to see a Peter Parker who's in his early to mid-30s. He's married to Mary Jane. Yes, married to Mary Jane, to MJ. He has 2 kids, beautiful little girl and a handsome young man, right? Called, what's his name? Richard Parker, right? And unfortunately, Aunt May is dead in a terrorist attack. She died along with hundreds, thousands of other people.
You'd have to check back to when that guy had reached over there to know about that, when the Maker had reached across.
Oh, well, just given the broad strokes.
Yeah,
just given the broad
reasons
strokes.
From the Maker, she died.
Yeah, she died. And also, we see his Uncle Ben is still alive.
And kicking. And working at
like
Daily Planet.
Like a badass.
And working
right?
at Hear me, Daily Planet.
And he's also friends with J. Jonah Jameson as well. And so we see Peter Parker eventually, he's been given the device that holds the spider that gives him his powers. And he's thinking about whether or not to do that. So that's the broad strokes. There's a whole lot more going on there in the story, but that's pretty much it. In the end of it all, of the first chapter, you see in shadows that he puts on the suit. So now the second issue, I'm really psyched to see what's going on with that. Also, it didn't come out this week, but I've been reading Blade.
Oh.
I recommend that you read Blade, Kyle.
All right.
If you have the time to read it, I recommend that you do it. They're keeping it simple. They're keeping it direct. There's an evil entity that's out to destroy the world. Duh. She's a magical demonic being.
Duh.
Always. And Blade has to chop her into bits. Duh. And the pacing is being great. There's action. Blade gets laid, which is something that, you know, most mainstream comics are afraid to do. But he puts it down. He lays it down. He represents for all black people.
Wow.
And we got to see a diverse cast. We get to see Doctor Strange. We get to see Tibetan monks, sorcerer monks, hidden people. We get all that jazz going on. And in the world of webtoons, well, you know, every single week we get a whole ton of webtoons coming out. You read any webtoons, Kyle? Don't tell me Solo Leveling.
Solo Leveling has ended, so I'm waiting for them to restart Return of the Disaster Class Hero. I have not...
I could not get into that.
I love that one.
What about Nano Machine? You read Nano Machine?
No, I haven't started reading that.
Nano Machine is the manual for people who like to see people get their arms chopped off.
Lol. Skeleton couldn't protect his dungeon. I haven't read that in a while because I was up to date with it.
The new hotness is the iron-blooded hound or something like that. That's the new hotness that everybody's been typing.
I still need to go and catch up. It's been a few weeks since I last read the last chapter of that gentleman. The one, Demon Fist. I haven't read him in a while.
Demon Fist of Mount
War. Of Mount War, yeah.
I haven't read in a while is Suicidal Battle Lord? God, yes. But I have been reading Reaper of the Drifting Moon. I mean, we can go forever and ever with that.
Yes, there's a lot of
because it's like a bazillion manhwa and we're just cycling through those. Also, World's Finest, Batman and Superman, World's Finest, one of the few Batman-related books that I read because Batman is nonsense. But that is an excellent book. If you're somebody who would like to get into comics, you'd like to get into Batman and Superman, you just want something decent, solid to read, I highly recommend Batman and Superman, World's Finest, as a book to pick up. Lots of adventure. They do all the things in there. There's mysteries to solve. They jump between dimensions, but it's not egregious dimension hopping like what happened in Jason Aaron's last Avengers run. Lord have mercy. Lord have mercy.
Again, this jumps to what I saw recently.
Michael. What is this? We need to come here and just have a session on Jason Aaron's run on the Avengers. That was crazy. If Marvel decides, if they decide that they're going to take the next 5 years to do a movie, right? On Jason Aaron's run of Avengers. So for the next 5 years, we're getting about 4 movies or something like that, based on the shenanigans that went on in there, I'd be there. That thing starts with Celestials dying en masse and falling to Earth, and it ends with about 5 different phoenixes fighting back a wave of reality that Loki or somebody set forth with the God Quarry and a billion different versions. There's Wolverine Phoenix, there's Destiny Phoenix, there's Ancient Prehistoric Phoenix, there's Echo, the chick that can't hear and can't talk. Is a phoenix and still can't talk.
I would never want to see that live action right now in the modern day. No. In the modern day of Disney and Marvel. No, hold on. In the modern day and age of Marvel Studios, I'm not going to want to see that.
So the God of Fists.
Sir?
Who punch hammers.
Sir, you just started off something wrong. First of all, Marvel Studios has never represented Celestials properly in their Disney-fied version.
Who cares anymore, Kyle?
Yeah, but we want to see all that.
Who cares anymore?
You just said about that. We want to see all that.
We need to embrace the nonsense. If Marvel decides that they're going to embrace the nonsense,
they
may have a winner on their hands.
If they...
Lean in. Lean in. Don't be afraid.
We have seen what they have done with a lot of our characters. And it's like, what?
What do they have to lose? They have nothing to lose.
What did it to my boy Hulk?
Nobody care about your Hulk.
Excuse you. You see Michael over there, what you... Excuse you.
And he's wearing his green shirt. You see, Michael.
Exactly.
Michael just...
You see, white shirt, Mark? Always angry.
I have a
green
number
shirt,
to a psychiatrist.
Always angry.
I have a number to a psychiatrist. I think you gamma... your gamma boys should go and visit.
It's all right. But the whole thing is, I don't trust current
Marvel. On the topic of manhwa, I know we shift off of it, but I just saw the image in my library here. Mr. Zombie. Mr. Zombie.
I'll have to check that one out.
Dude, that is One Punch Man, the zombie version.
Oh, okay.
It's nuts.
Oh, okay.
Right?
I'll check it out.
All the foolishness you see that go on in One Punch Man, it goes on in there.
Well, you've seen the latest chapter of One Punch Man, now that you mentioned about it.
No, I don't read One Punch Man.
One Punch Man is beautiful.
Fling all your tomatoes, I don't care. Okay? Your booze don't affect me. I see what
nobody
you cheer
booing,
for.
Nobody's booing you. Nobody's booing you. But seeing we're still on the topic of manhwa and so forth, let's get into the next segment where we talk about
An evolution begins with a big tree. It's a tree that's cultivating to become stronger. That is so definitely.
So Yggdrasil. All right. No problem.
Yeah. If you have a tamarind tree outside right now, cultivate and power up like a Super Saiyan while it's still doing its tree thing. That's crazy.
They already do something like that.
I like interesting concepts in manhwas.
Duludala didn't do something like that when he had the grass.
Kyle, a man got reincarnated as a tree and the tree outside in the soil. And he's cultivating. He's even harnessing the animals and them around the place and had them a level up and a do things.
All righty then. That's interesting.
Read it. Man.
Now, seeing that we're on manhwas and so forth, let's talk about, in the next segment, the nonsense of hiding key in manhwa and sensing.
Oh, yes. Yes. So, hold on. Let me sit down properly.
Okay. Yeah, I'll take a
You guys read martial arts manhwa, right?
Yes.
Okay. A fundamental aspect of martial arts manhwa is ki or chi, right? Now, I find that when it comes to sensing ki, there's a whole bunch of BS surrounding that. If a guy is too strong, you sensing him.
Yes.
But if the guy is too strong, you can't sense him because you're not on a level to sense his ki.
Yes, because you're drowning in his ki.
Make sense, Kyle.
Can you tell the water is wet 50,000 feet under the sea? No, you're drowning.
You can be so strong that your ki cannot be sensed by people weaker than you, and at the same time be so strong that everybody senses your power.
Think of it as radio waves. If you have too many clashing radio waves in one area, everything gets distorted.
Kyler, one
man. Hold on. If one frequency is high enough and powerful enough, it overshadows everything else inside of it. You won't be able to tell whatever is there because all you know is just getting large distortions. You won't be able to feel out nothing. You can't get no feeds through it. Now, only when it's lowered, you can, or at your certain distance from it, where the frequency is low to where you are sensing it from, you are now able to say, oh, that thing over there is quite strong. Because in the world of radio, when we have our signals, we have to be on a certain radio level and a certain strength. Otherwise, we'll get a whole ton of distortion. You'll be like, oh, yeah, on the radio.
Kyle,
so you have to think of it like that.
Here's the thing, but you are trying to use a real world metaphor, example, logic.
Yes.
To explain something that the in-universe have no logic.
Why you say it has no logic?
Because they've never explained it. It's always convenient for the time.
Well,
the hero needs to be intimidated. Boom. He walks into the bar. This man aura is just oppressing everything.
Well, we've seen that
but
many
then he
times.
Walk up on another guy. He's like, how is it that I didn't sense him? He must be so powerful that I can't sense his powers. Pick a lane.
But it's not the first time we've seen that. We've seen that many times.
There's
done
all
with
kind of inconsistencies with those guys.
Exactly. Yeah. It's always been a thing in both manga, anime, and manhwa that we've seen for years that this guy power is so overwhelming. What was the last big? We did see that it was in Yu Yu Hakusho.
Oh, and don't forget now.
Wait, who?
They cannot sense your ki because you're too weak as well, eh?
The demon, Yusuke's ancestor, till he could not sense his vast amount of energy because he was too weak to sense it.
That's different.
Raizen.
That's different.
Who couldn't sense Raizen? Yusuke?
I think Yusuke couldn't sense his energy. Somebody wasn't able to sense somebody's energy in that because it was too high for them to feel it out.
I think it depends on what show or what manga it is, but they are very inconsistent with that. Like, I take Tales of Demons and Gods as one, where the system is so, like, the flaw in a lot of those is that, like, you can train all you want, but as long as somebody is slightly stronger than you, you can never beat them, which makes no sense to me. Like, why not actually have the fight and see
That's the same in Hunter x Hunter.
People
can kill you out of nowhere just with their own innate ability
exactly.
That they made up.
They said what makes you powerful in there is your Nen ability, not necessarily
what's
your
name?
One of the things that Hunter x Hunter established, right, very early on, is that experience matters.
Yes.
So if a man has been training for 60 years and you could be the gifted one from heaven and you've only started training for like about 10 years or something like that, there's no way you're beating this.
No, but hold on. Again, you can't use that universe because, again, they said Nen ability counts because I can have an ability that if you come 10 meters in front of me, you drop dead. There's nothing you can do about that. Literally. Yeah, you don't know, you don't know anything about my ability. You come to taunt me, put up dead. And he was like,
the only time they actually showed you sometimes overwhelming force is like all that matters is when what's his name from the spiders, the first spider to die.
Uvogen.
When Uvogen was fighting the shadow beast.
Oh, the shadow beast.
They tried abilities on him and he's like, whatever, I'm just like ultra strong and I'm just going to eat a piece.
Yeah,
of your
in
head.
The terms of people, fighting when they're using that type of reinforcement.
Reinforcement.
When you're fighting another reinforcement person and you're in that specialization nan ability, you're going to die. If that person is overwhelmingly stronger in force, you're going to lose against them, hands down. But when it's special ability now in Nen versus a force person, you better hope that special ability doesn't have some kind of condition saying, again, you go up 10 meters near me, you're dead.
So I find Hunter x Hunter had a much more consistent way of dealing with like power scales.
Yeah,
and stuff like that. And you could beat people stronger than you technically,
with
but
ease.
Not all the time.
You would have to have a strategy. You'd have to plan for them, you know? But I tend to see those inconsistencies you mentioned, we tend to see that more often in manhwa than in manga.
Because general cultivation is always just, we just train all the time and try to break through the next level of training.
Next level and then next level and next level and then next level.
Just be stronger.
Then you reach to this level and then there's another set of levels and then you have to go and get this item to limit break you and then go to the next set of levels.
And every level is broken down into 10 sub-levels.
Yeah, and in one of the levels, you know, have multiple lives that you have to know join into one life to reach to the next level. And like,
and we're all trying to get to our divine god body, fam.
Yes, your divine god body. That's technically leave you as a true immortal and can live forever and do all your wonderful things.
I find that the whole concept of ki within manhwa tends to be nonsense. Right? You're too strong, you're too powerful, they can sense you, they cannot sense you. It's very inconsistent. And yeah.
I like the way DBZ dealt with sensing, where most of the bad guys didn't know how to sense ki.
Yeah, that was something that was cultivated on Earth.
Vegeta didn't even know how to sense ki until he learned it from getting beaten up by Goku and them.
Yeah,
and it's like, oh, they be sensing
experiencing
ki. They had to invent scouters to be able to tell what people's power levels were.
Ah, yes. Famous line.
When interacting with the people of Earth, they had as he said, have you ever been overwhelmed by a great amount of power? That's what turned on that in him. He learned that when you got hit by all them big blasts from Goku.
Well, also he was wondering how they like tracking down people and stuff like that without scouters.
Yes, that
means like, oh, they must be doing something.
Yeah, so he just
for some reason I don't want Lamel to listen to this episode because firstly he's going to say,
what are you gonna say?
Vegeta is trash.
Yeah, I ignore him, right?
The man does not like Vegeta and he does not like Wolverine.
Lamel, too bad for you. I don't know what's your problem.
The two greatest characters ever made.
No. The greatest character in Dragon Ball will always be Goten.
But can he beat Batman?
Yeah, blow up the planet and move on.
Can he beat Batman?
Blow up
and
the planet and move on.
And so we segue into the second nonsense for today. The nonsense of Batman.
Ah, this is going to take a while.
Is it? Is it really going to take a while?
It's going to take a while. Listen to me, right?
A week ago.
If you can tell me, after all these years, Superman's biggest enemy is a human being called Lex Luthor, leave me alone about Batman. Batman.
Sir, that's not a fair comparison.
How is that a fair comparison?
It's not a fair comparison because Superman does not want to take out Lex Luthor.
And does Batman want to take out anybody?
The code, listen, hang on.
Oh, okay,
hang
ahead.
On.
Go ahead, I'm listening.
Mm-hmm. Superman has a particular code that he lived by.
Mm-hmm.
Not compared to Batman's code. That's a whole different thing altogether, right?
Mm-hmm.
But Superman, he has a weird relationship with Lex Luthor.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Superman actually sees Lex Luthor as a villain. More of an annoyance. More like somebody who has the potential to do a lot of good and is actually necessary within the landscape, but he just outer line and outer pocket most times, right? So a little backhand slap crossy lip, you know, every now and again is all he needs.
So
you check me.
Let me ask you a question.
It's like playing with a wayward child.
Just literally said everything about Batman and his relationship with Joker.
No,
he's a man.
No, hold on. No.
Wait.
That is different.
How is that? Joker is suffering from a mental issue brought upon the chemicals that messed with him when being chased down by him.
Lex Luthor.
Go ahead.
Right? Listen. With the Joker, the Joker is actually an existential problem. Batman, and it's an existential problem that Batman wants to keep on being a problem.
No, he doesn't want it to be a problem.
Listen. Gotham is the way it is, and we said this in private already. Gotham is the way that it is because that is how Batman wants it.
Gotham is the way it is because he has to keep control of everything inside of Gotham. Meaning, like, so that these things do not spread out to the rest of the world and cause chaos, it has to run a certain way. But when it comes to, hold on, when it comes down to things like Joker, he keeps on locking away Joker, and the corruptness of Gotham is what keeps on letting him out.
Batman has done everything. Batman has solved cosmic problems. Batman has attempted to put the fear of God in Darkseid, the greatest villain in the DC universe, right? He sat on the Morbius chair.
Yes.
Right? This man has communed with gods.
Yes.
This man has solved everybody else's problem.
Yes.
This man has worked out how to take out his friends.
Yes.
And he can't solve a crazy man in a clown outfit.
The crazy man.
Batman is purpose.
His antithesis in life. How you can go? You can scratch off. If I am on one side of the coin, can you scratch the other side of the coin?
Michael saying Batman.
If I am Batman, yes.
He's not trying to scratch off the other side of the coin.
And that's my point. He's not trying to. Batman doesn't try to fix Gotham. It's like Batman comes in like the United States healthcare system. That's what Batman comes in like. Right?
Batman.
They give you medicines to deal with your symptoms and not cure you so that they can gain money off of you in perpetuity. Right?
The comments made here on B-Side Nerds is the comments made.
It's mine. That's my comment. That's
and
mine.
No one else.
It has nothing else to do with Remy and Kyle. Right? So here's the thing. Gotham, the way it exists, is Batman's playground.
Mm.
If Batman goes into, what's the other one? Coast City? It's Coast City? That's the other city?
The Flash City,
yeah.
I forget what it's called.
Central City. Central. If he goes to Central City, I bet you that place they fix.
But he leaves it to Flash. He doesn't need to do anything. Flash has it well under his wing.
But if he wants to, he can do it.
I think he will see himself as messing it up.
Mess what up?
Because he sees Flash dealing with his bad guys.
Don't forget we saw Batman chain Flash to the Batmobile and press gas.
No, that... Well, you see, that was one. That was Dark Knight's Metal.
Dark Knight's Metal, Batman. We saw every shade of Batman.
Yes, all the grays of Batman.
All I'm saying is, right, that you cannot compare Superman and Lex Luthor with Batman and his rogues gallery.
But right? Let me tell you this. Luthor has done as much damage and sometimes even on worse scales than Joker has ever done. And then you just keep on just locking him back up. Same. He just uses his corporate money, his ties or whatever, and gets out and goes back to doing the same thing over and over again.
Okay. Let's look at the motivations of those two characters, Lex Luthor and the Joker, right? So let's put the nonsense of Batman on pause and deal with those two, right?
Okay.
What is Lex Luthor's motivation?
Control.
No.
Control.
No.
Sir, he does not like the fact that this all-powerful being...
That is not a motivation.
What do you mean?
That is just a character trait. He's a controlling person.
Okay. His motivation?
Yeah.
To prove... Superman is wrong.
No, it's to prove that humanity is like superior than aliens, basically. That's been Lex's thing.
That's his own racial thing. I don't even motivation. I would say that's a racial thing.
He thinks that Superman has life on easy mode, but doesn't use that power to do what he would do in that situation.
Partially, yes. He feels that Superman is waste. he's wasting his resources. He's wasting himself. He could be doing things to benefit humanity. Instead, he's just going around playing hero. And what he wants to do is to wake up Superman or take Superman's gift so he himself can do what he thinks needs to be done for the benefit of mankind.
But again, it was proven in the same one that motivation would be miscued by the version where Superman had to leave Earth. He got poisoned by some solar radiation and was slowly dying.
That's the new 52, Kyle.
No, not the new 52. It was a version of Superman where he had to leave the planet and because he was dying. That's when he started that whole thing of being in the sun and creating machines where Lex Luthor had overdriven his body with solar radiation by doing some stripperness. And All-Star Superman, yes, that one. And what had happened is that during that whole situation, Lex got a hand of super serum that can turn you into Superman for 24 hours.
Uh-huh.
He got that, and he was fighting against Superman, who was even more powerful and smarter than he was ever because of all everything for him was amped up to the point he was going to OD at some point. And while doing everything and he was about to finish off Superman, all the rest of Superman's powers kicked in. And then he looking at his hand. Just looking at his hand, he could see like all the atoms, molecules, everything in existence in his hand everywhere. And he just almost understood everything that Superman was seeing and experiencing all his life. I saw such potential. Mm-hmm. And seeing all that potential, he realized with all this, he was wasting himself as Lex Luthor all the years of his life. You have a man with such great potential, astronomical, that he didn't even understand all these years. And then that's when he came to the conclusion. When you saw him come to the conclusion, he was realizing he was wasting his life all these years. It's not that Superman was ever wasting his life.
That he was.
He was the one in the wrong. He could have been doing greater things.
So let me ask you a question. So he came to that realization about himself, but does that make his original thoughts on Superman incorrect?
His original thoughts, again,
is Superman not wasting
his time? Hold on, let me tell you. In one version, let me tell you this. In one of the older versions of Lex Luthor, you see, his motivation has changed over the years. In one version, he felt when they had the whole thing with Superman being Superboy in the older ones. They were doing some kind of experiment and it caused the explosion that left him bald. And after that is when he hated Superman.
But that's some old 1960s stuff.
Yeah, but it's changed over the years. Many times it's different aspirations that have him hate Superman. Again, at one point it's just that you have this godly being, you don't trust him. So you're going to prove to the rest of the world you can't trust this one guy.
Kyle. And yet still you have not answered my question.
What's that?
Does the fact that he has changed his perspective or his priorities mean that his original perspective, his take on Superman was incorrect?
His take on Superman?
That Superman is wasting his abilities.
No, I can't say correct because if Superman, after when Superman came out as Clark Kent to the rest of the world and explained that he has been on the planet all his life, he's grown up as an Earthling. The man still hate the dude. So you know hearing that, okay, all these times I just thought he was a god descended from the heavens.
That makes it even worse.
No, that
I agree with Luther. It makes it even worse.
No.
Because why it's worse, right? Take for example. Mm. Let's take Omni-Man, right? Omni-Man leave from where he left from, right?
Mm-hmm.
He came to Earth and he had his own prime directive.
Yes, Conqueror. Okay? Mm. Prepping for Conqueror.
He prepping for Conqueror, but then he fell in love and he had a family, right? But he hasn't lost sight of his main directive, which is to conquer Earth.
He did lose it.
He's just delaying it.
No, he did lose it. Did lose it.
All right. He's somebody that came as a full-grown adult to Earth.
Yes.
Right? And he's not completely sold on Earth. Mm. He has his family that he cares about, but he's not completely sold on Earth.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, look at the fight with Mark. Look at all the people that died out of that, from that fight.
But okay?
That is not something that Superman would ever do.
No, of course not.
Now, Superman grew up on Earth from small. Given the amount of power that Superman have, and the fact that he grew up on Earth. Remember, we always say that it's that homegrown Midwest Kansas upbringing is what keeps Superman from becoming a tyrant, right? That value that is instilled in him, the human values, right? So, with all that great power, where's the responsibility? You're talking about somebody who, just by virtue of the metabolic things that goes on, being exposed to the sun, has increased intellect, has all the powers necessary to do almost anything on earth, right? The man can see atoms if he wants to.
Yes.
Right? He can do laser surgery.
Yes.
Right? He has x-ray visions. He can put his power to task to solve humans' problems. Why doesn't he do it? The only answer that they can possibly give me is the same nonsense answer that they gave when the Phoenix Five solved the world problems, right?
Or when the Beyonder came.
Humanity needs to solve their own problems for themselves.
That is a true
That is a cop-out, okay? So I agree with Lex Luthor. Superman is wasting his time. Yet they're... All you're doing with all these powers are punching the people that you attract by virtue of existing.
But if, let me tell you this, if you have reached to this level into, after when he became Apex.
What is Superman doing right now? What is going on in the current Superman book?
I think his dimension happened.
What is going on in the current Superman book? Lex Luthor is in jail. He's given Superman control over a company that he established specifically to help Superman.
Yes.
And he created certain legal wranglings so that Superman cannot escape this duty. And Superman has to do things to help Metropolis and not just punching super beings, but actually do things to help the livelihood of the people and them that's there. Lex Luthor has found a legal way to get Superman to do something other than be in the daily newspaper writing news, on a farm lifting tractors, or out in a space station punching
Hold on. Now, the great caveat to this is, why do you get to dictate what I do with my abilities?
Because you nah do nothing with them.
You don't... Why are you on my planet?
Wait, why are you on my planet?
Because I was sent here. I didn't come here on my own free will.
You could have left.
It's just like...
Hold on.
My whole planet are gone.
You could have find another one.
Find it where? So you go out and look in the vastness of space and so forth.
When his son came back, right? And they force ripe the Pinckney.
Yes.
Right? And he went out into space.
That's right.
What was it that his son noticed while they were traveling from space station to space station, from community to community? There are so many people, right, who recognize the crest for the House of El and understand what it means and look up to him. They idolize him. Some of them even worship the man.
But I don't think he wants that.
He could help them. But no. No, he does not.
But hear this again. It's like the whole
Superman
thing.
Superman always.
It's like the man being... I know we segued mostly into Superman. So it's, this is supposed to be about
Batman. We should
Batman.
Be talking about the nonsense of Superman. That's a what.
At the end of the day, nobody should be able to dictate what he does with his thing. He has his own free will. He does what he needs to do for enough. And let humanity deal with the rest.
All I'm hearing from you is that Superman is as big a villain as Batman is. Because
Batman is a villain. Batman is a vigilante.
Batman is a villain. Batman is a villain because Batman has Gotham in a state that not even Dr. Doom would have Latveria existing in.
Sir, he does not put over a... Hold on. You can't compare Batman to Dr. Doom. Dr. Doom will go out and kill you or whatever. So Batman ain't killing nobody.
Because he don't want to.
That man, when you kill somebody, that puts you on the extreme.
Hold up. Dark Knight's Metal, didn't we see every possibility of Batman?
Yes.
Didn't we see killer Batmans?
Well, all of them were killer Batmans.
We saw the Batman who laughed, which was the ultimate predator. Right? We saw...
Doomsday Batman.
We saw the Punisher Batman that walk around with every gun under mankind.
Yes.
Right? We saw the Green Lantern Batman that embraces the darkness and the light. Right? We saw the...
Cyborg Batman.
The Cyborg Batman, the Doomsday Batman. Then they were
the
like victims of circumstance.
Woman Batman.
The Aqua one, that's another victim of circumstance, so to speak. But what I'm saying is, these guys show... None of them were any greater than the original original Batman.
No.
All of them showed the possibilities for Batman.
Yes, and all of them... Oh, go ahead.
So it's a choice.
Yeah, but all of them went down a dark road of death and destruction. Every single one of those you called, it was just mass murder and mayhem.
And this is what makes the main Batman so villainous to me, right? The man can fix Gotham. He maintains Gotham as... The man has a whole bat squad to maintain this particular thing. And he does it in such a way where he can dust his hands off and say, well, I'm just the man fighting this fight. I cannot control everything. Excuse me? Didn't you have the bat radar thing that can hear everything that going on throughout Gotham? Aren't you Gotham's Sukuya? Aren't you that? That is everywhere, in the shadows, everywhere.
Sir, he only does these things.
Aren't you the one that know the entire layout of Gotham? Aren't you the one who, by virtue of your own elitist status, have connections with all the movers and shakers in Gotham and have the finances to do it? You have so much luxury you can afford for people to protect where your wealth and them and still live poor in a townhouse, right? In the city itself that upper middle class people can't afford while you're broke with a secret cave underneath that building as well.
Again, prep time. But anyway, moving from that.
Batman and villain.
Anyway, but the thing about it, you have to look at this. Every time Batman has done anything other than try to help the people in his way or control Gotham to a degree, it always spills over to something worse. Every single time. Again, just like you mentioned,
That is writers.
Hold on. We've seen it many times. Out of the whole disposition that you say, Batman is so great and so knowledgeable. How come we never seen it with magic? They already said he can't ever learn. He's not ever supposed to learn magic.
That is a DC directive. There's nothing stopping Batman from tying down Dr. Fate and making him spill his secret.
The man got the Mobius chair. He was on the Mobius chair. He got all the knowledge. But again, he never used magic.
Batman can use magic.
He's not allowed to, they told. They said they won't ever have him learn magic.
That is not an in-universe thing.
No, that is an in-universe.
That's a DC directive.
That girl's father said that.
Nonsense to me,
yes.
Right?
Zatanna's father said, you're not ever to learn magic because magic gives and takes. There's nothing to take from him. So he'll just be able to use it.
You're going to have to explain that.
Yeah, they gave an explanation. But what it says is, there's nothing to take away from him. He's already given himself to being Batman.
You know, you're right. Alfred dead.
The man said, if anybody without anything to give up gets magic, they always turn evil.
Then again, DC has never been the best when it comes to magic. They themselves don't know what they're doing with magic.
I don't know about that.
They have it well controlled, I would say. They have it well controlled over there.
Anything that DC have that seems as well controlled is what they've adopted over from Vertigo.
Technically in the same universe as the DC comics.
Constantine,
etc.
They only merged them.
But the whole thing with
about a decade or so.
What's his name again? Etrigan and so forth were there, and Morgana and Luffy and all that people were there a long time. Those were there a long time the DC verse. So right. Swamp Thing and so forth. They were there a long time. So it's not like they don't know about magic and such.
All right. So magic takes from you, right? So I guess there's nothing left in Zatanna because all she do are cast spells.
I don't know what it takes. Maybe it takes a tiny piece of her, whatever, and so forth. They're magical beings, but
nonsense.
Whatever it is with Batman, him being human, and him
I've never heard this explanation before. Zatanna and stuff.
No, Zatanna, so
just willy nilly.
Yeah, but
Zatanna, and their magic is just saying what it is that you want in reverse,
basically.
Yeah, and that is spell. They said, but they told him directly, they will never allow him. He should never be allowed to learn magic. He'll turn the evil if he gets magic.
I'm like a pit bull here, and me now move from a point now. The man I'm villain.
But right. Yes, back to the main point, the prep time of him. Listen to me, anybody in this universe, even Lex Luthor has shown, with prep time, you can do many things.
Prep time is a contrivance in comic books, pretty much.
Yes.
You need prep time. You need to prepare.
For people that have limits.
People will just say, people have limits and so on. Well, people with rich money, friends, influence, has limits that are astronomical that you don't even understand.
To be fair, right, there's nothing inherently wrong with prep time. The issue is what Batman is able to achieve prep time and the things that he has prepared for.
Basically.
I bet you Batman is prepared for a blue elephant falling to Earth.
You see, it's
from
that,
outer space.
I think some things you just shouldn't question. Like the fact that Batman does disappear after conversations in Justice League.
And Superman and Flash
be like,
where did he go?
I hate when he does that. It doesn't make any sense because Flash is so
Superman can't even tell when he's there.
You know who has something equally dunce? Superman. Being able to hear and recognize different heartbeats.
I mean,
if you can listen to every conversation
based on his powers, it wouldn't be outside the realm of possibility. The fact that a lot of times they explain that Superman like literally will try to turn off the hearing because he could hear everything that's going on
the planet.
Like on the planet.
And how is he not deaf?
He's not deaf. His whole body is super. Even his brain.
Kyle, do you know how fine-tuned your ears have to be? How sensitive have to hear an ant starting?
Well, hold on. Again, he's not human. We cannot go by our human thoughts on it.
All right,
he's alien.
I think we've exhausted this topic. But you have failed to convince me, Kyle.
Yeah, we've exhausted our hour too.
Yeah.
Lol.
Oh, man. I am tired. I'm literally tired. All right, so that's it for this week. Go check out Avatar, Ninja Kamui as well. Go check that out. Episode 3 is out. I haven't seen it as yet. I'm caught up on episode 2, which did very good in terms of building up from episode 1. Definitely go watch it if you like action. That's pretty much it. So I'll see you guys.
Hold on, recommendation. That was your recommendation. What's your recommendation for this week?
My recommendation is to start playing Guild Wars 2.
Guild Wars 2.
Wow. Yeah, that's a first of a video game.
I've just been doing, you know, the regular, just leveling MSQ. Up from the boring parts. You know, you have to level up one. I'm pretty sure you don't get to the fun part until you're like 30, level 30 plus.
The fun part? What's the fun part? Raiding dungeons?
Yes.
Nah. The game is set up in such a way that you can have fun all throughout the leveling process. The sad thing is that some of the dungeons, quote unquote dungeons that you could do at your level, nobody does them anymore. That's the sad thing. And they never maintain them, right? But do the main story quest.
That's what I've been doing.
And that will get you far. Once you hit level 80 cap, then a whole new world.
I just recommend go and re-get backers. Good story, fun characters, lovely world. Entrancing. We get backers.
All right. And with that, we come to an end of another great episode. See you guys next time.
Adios.